Thank you, choir. That was really good. Thank you. If you would, if you have your Bibles with you this morning, let me ask you to turn to 2 Kings. And if you want to know where 2 Kings is, it's right after 1 Kings. Learned that from Jeff Lohman. Turn to 2 Kings, and we'll read this morning our text, verses 14 to 19. Beloved, this again is the word of our Lord, the prayer of Hezekiah. Then Hezekiah took the letter from the hand of the messengers and read it. He went up to the house of the Lord and spread it out before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord, the God of Israel, who are enthroned above the cherubim, you are the God, you alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth. You have made heaven and earth. Incline your ear, O Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, O Lord, and see. And listen to the hands of Sennacherib, which he has sent to reproach the living God. Truly, O Lord, the kings of Assyria have devastated the nations and their lands. They have cast their gods into the fire, for they were not gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. So they have destroyed them. Now, O Lord our God, I pray, deliver us from his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you alone, O Lord our God. This is the word of God. Let's pray. Father, we come to you this morning recognizing that you alone are God. And Father, in Christ, we are privileged to call you our God because, Lord, indeed, in Christ, we are your people. We come this morning to your word, Father, and asking that you would speak to us. The Holy Spirit, you would prick our hearts in a mighty way. As you speak to us this morning, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I love the Old Testament. Of course, in the Old Testament, God gives to us the redemptive history that will be realized in Christ in the New Testament. But throughout all the Old Testament, it's filled with adventure and intrigue, is it not? It's exciting. And that's the text we read this morning. The context is a very serious time in the nation, in the southern kingdom of Judah. Hezekiah, who was the king of Judah, became king at a time when the northern kingdom of Israel was coming to a close. After over 200 years of the northern kingdom turning away from the word of God, refusing to obey the word of the Lord giving to them, the Lord raised up the nation of Assyria to destroy the northern kingdom and to expel them from the land the Lord had given to them so many years before. The scripture, however, describes Hezekiah, the king of the southern kingdom, the king of Judah, as one who did right in the sight of the Lord according to his father David. And for a king of Judah, no higher praise could be given to a king. Because Hezekiah, beloved, trusted in the Lord his God. And after the northern kingdom fell, the king of Assyria, his name was Sennacherib, set his sights on the southern kingdom. And he sent a written letter to Hezekiah. And we read what he wrote in this letter in verse 10 of chapter 19. If you look there with me, let's read what he wrote. The letter from the king of Assyria defying the God of Israel, sending this note to Hezekiah. And he writes in verse 10, "Thus you shall say to Hezekiah, king of Judah, do not let your God in whom you trust deceive you, saying, Jerusalem will not be given into the hand of the king of Assyria. Behold, you have heard what the kings of Assyria have done in all the lands, destroying them completely." And then he asks, "So will you be spared?" The king of Assyria wrote this letter. Now, When Hezekiah received this message, he did something that very much reflected his father David. You know what he did? King Hezekiah, he prayed. He prayed. Now, beloved, the scripture, even in the Old Testament, is filled with the prayers of God's people who call out to the Lord their God. And we see this from the very beginning. If you look at the life of Abraham, God called Abraham to himself to be in relationship with Abraham and Abraham with him, which was marked by prayer from the beginning. You may recall, when the Lord revealed to Abraham that he was going to destroy the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. And what did Abraham do? He remembered that Lot, his nephew, lived in Sodom. And Abraham prayed. He prayed. And God heard his prayer. And he delivered Lot and his family from the destruction of the city of Sodom. And so even in the life of Abraham, in the beginning, we see that when Abraham prayed, he was praying and giving praise to God as his God and recognizing that he was his people, of his people. When we pray, we recognize that the Lord is our God and we are his people. And like Abraham, we recognize when we pray, the Lord is very much involved in every aspect of our lives. And so the question before us this morning from our text, how did Hezekiah pray? How did he pray? Well, he prayed a very simple prayer, which we just read, that gives us really great insight into what it means as God's people to call upon the Lord. How did he pray? First, we can say that Hezekiah, as he prayed, he got alone with God. Verse 14. When Hezekiah took the letter from the hand of the messengers and read it, he went up to the house of the Lord and spread it out before the Lord. Now, if you go to the first part of this chapter, you'll see that when Hezekiah received this message, that he sent word to the prophet Isaiah, asking Isaiah to pray. Pray for the remnant of Israel. And undoubtedly, Hezekiah told or instructed the leaders of Judah to pray, and he asked the people of the kingdom to pray as well. But the context, the emphasis of the passage that we read this morning, is that when Hezekiah went up to the temple, he went to the temple alone to pray. And this is important. This is instructive for us. What can we observe from this fact given to us in the text? Well, we can say this about Hezekiah, that Hezekiah was accustomed to praying. In other words, Hezekiah knew how to pray. Have you ever heard someone pray in public, perhaps in a worship service or in a Sunday school class, or somewhere, and you've heard him pray, and you ever thought in your mind, man, I wish I could pray like that. You ever thought that? Wish I could pray like that. Charles Spurgeon, the great preacher of the 19th century in London, it was said of Spurgeon that when he prayed before his congregation, you felt like you were being ushered into the very throne room of heaven. Spurgeon knew how to pray. Now, beloved, he didn't learn how to pray simply by praying in front of his congregation before he got up to preach. That's not how he learned to pray. He learned to pray by getting along with the Lord, giving himself to the Word of God, allowing God to speak to him. And as God spoke to his heart, renewed his mind, Spurgeon learned how to pray. And that's how we learn to pray. We allow the Word of God to speak to us. We give ourselves to it, and as he speaks to us, we speak back to him. That's how we learn to pray. And I think about Hezekiah. I can imagine Hezekiah poring over the Psalms written by his father David, right? Poring over the Psalms. David, who poured out his heart before the Lord in times of triumph and times of distress, when he didn't know whether he'd be living or not the next day. And Hezekiah, I can just see pouring over the Psalms written by his father David through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. The book of Psalms, and I was very thankful we had our Advent season going through the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms are prayers set to music. The book of Psalms very much is God's instruction book to us on how to pray. Let me just say to you, Do you have a desire to learn how to pray as God would be pleased? Pray the Psalms. Pray through the Psalms. It'll teach you how to pray. And so Hezekiah knew how to pray. Hezekiah also knew that God heard his prayer. He heard his prayer. Hezekiah came to be king of the southern kingdom of Judah after a long stretch of time where his fathers before him, as kings, had turned their hearts away from the word of God. They turned away from obeying the word of God. They allowed the things of this world to turn their hearts away from the things of God, and the people of the kingdom suffered for it. As the leadership of a country goes, so goes the country. As the leadership of a church goes, so goes the church. As the leadership of a family goes, so goes the family. And when Hezekiah became king and gave himself to the word of God and gave himself to prayer, knowing that God would hear him as he prayed according to God's will, Hezekiah turned the whole fortune of a country around. Why? He was willing to give himself to prayer and to the word of God. Psalm 61, 1-4, I can hear Hezekiah praying this. Hear my cry, O Lord. Give heed to my prayer. From the end of the earth I call to you when my heart is faint. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I, for you have been a refuge for me. He prays, a tower of strength against the enemy. Let me dwell in your tent forever. Let me take refuge in the shelter of your wings. Selah. Psalm 66, 20, I can hear Hezekiah praying this. Blessed be God who has not turned away from my prayer, nor his loving kindness from me. Hezekiah understood that God heard his prayer. We can say also that Hezekiah understood the importance of prayer. He understood the importance of prayer. Beloved, I'm convinced that the enemy, more than anything else, wants to keep his people from praying. The enemy wants to keep his people, the people of God, from praying. See, it's in our prayers to the Lord that God begins to work out his sovereign plan, not only in our lives, but in the lives of the church as we give ourselves to prayer. Now, does that mean if we don't pray that God won't act? No. God's going to do what God's going to do according to his plan. But the question is not whether or not God is going to work out his sovereign plan according to our prayer. The question is this: am I willing to be a part of God's sovereign work in my life and the life of this church according to my prayer? Am I willing to do that? Hezekiah was willing to do that. James, the half-brother of Jesus, was the leader of the Jerusalem church shortly after Christ ascended back to the Father. And James had a nickname. He was called Camel Knees. He was called Camel Knees because his knees looked like a camel. He had spent so many hours on his knees crying out to God. These huge calluses worked their way upon his knees. It was like a camel's legs. James, the half-brother of Christ, prayed. He prayed. When Paul wrote his letters to the churches in the New Testament, repeatedly, over and again, what did he say? I am praying for you. I am praying for you. I am praying for you. And he asked them also to do what? Pray for me. Pray for me, he said. And Christ himself, as we well know, many times withdrew from the public by himself for hours to pray. And I think there's no doubt that one of the biggest impacts that Christ had in the lives of his disciples as they lived upon this world after he ascended back to the Father was the importance of personal and private prayer. They saw him do it. Prayer is important. Why? What happens when we pray? When we pray, when we give ourselves to being alone with the Lord, we're actively engaging in fellowship with a holy and righteous and omnipotent God. When we give ourselves to prayer, our desire to know God and to be in His presence begins to flourish. And the reality of God's eternal work in our lives begins to become a reality to us. And in so doing, the things of this earth truly begin to dim in the light of the glory of His grace, as the hymnal writes. You see, as we give ourselves to prayer, God at that moment is accomplishing His eternal will and purpose in our lives. So Hezekiah got alone with the Lord. Secondly, Hezekiah gave praise to God in his prayer. He gave praise to God. Look at verse 15. Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord, the God of Israel, who are enthroned above the cherubim, you are the God, you alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth. You have made heaven and earth. And so Hezekiah gives praise to God. He gives praise to God first as the God of Israel. And whether the children of Israel or the children of the southern kingdom of Judah recognized it or not, God, in fact, was their God. He was the God of Israel. The miracles of the Exodus when He brought them out of Egypt demonstrated that the God of Israel was sovereign and ruled over all the gods of Egypt. Right? He demonstrated that repeatedly. Flies and frogs and lice and the Nile River and the firstborn son, their gods were subject to the God of Israel. When the Lord brought His people to Sinai to give them His law, as He gave them His law, He reminded them repeatedly, I am the Lord your God. I am the Lord your God. You are my people. And that's how we pray. We pray, when we come to God and praise Him as our Father in Christ. We rejoice that He, the true God, is our God. And we in Christ are His people. That's how he praised the Lord. Hezekiah gave praise to God as the God of Israel and also as a ruler of all the kingdoms of the world. You may be familiar with Malcolm Muggeridge. He was an English journalist, lived really during the mid part of the 20th century. And Muggeridge came to know the Lord later in life, and he observed in his lifetime the rise and fall of the nations of the world. And he's written something I think is very insightful for us to listen to. And if you would, I'm going to read this. It's a lengthy quote, so stay with me. Stay with me on this. Let me get a drink. Listen to what Muggeridge says. He's commenting on his observation of the rise and falls of nations in his lifetime. He says this. He says, we look back upon history and what do we see? Empires rising and falling, revolutions and counter-revolutions, wealth accumulating and wealth dispersed, one nation dominant and then another. Shakespeare speaks of the rise and fall of great ones that ebb and flow with the moon. He continues, I look back upon my own fellow countrymen ruling over a quarter of the world, the great majority of them convinced, in the words of what is still a favorite song, that God who's made the mighty would make them mightier yet. I've heard of a crazed, cracked Austrian announce to the world the establishment of a German Reich that would last 1,000 years. An Italian clown announced that he would restart the calendar and begin his own ascension to power. I've heard a murderous Georgian brigand in the Kremlin acclaimed by the intellectual elite of the world as wiser than Solomon, more humane than Marcus Aurelius, more enlightened than Ashoka. I've seen America wealthier in terms of weaponry, more powerful than the rest of the world put together, he writes, so that the American people desired, if they had desired, could have outdone an Alexander, a Julius Caesar in the range and scale of their conquests. All in a lifetime, all in one lifetime, he says, gone with the wind. England, part of a tiny island off the coast of Europe, threatening dismemberment and even bankruptcy. Hitler and Mussolini dead, remembered only in infamy. Stalin, a forbidden name in the regime he helped found and dominate for some 3 decades. America haunted by fears of running out of those precious fluids that keep her motorized warring, the smog settling, and troubled memories of a disastrous campaign in Vietnam, and the convictions of Don Quixote's of the media and their charged windmills of Watergate. And he says, all in a lifetime, all gone, gone with the wind. And he finishes by saying this, behind the debris of these self-styled, sullen supermen and imperial diplomatists, there stands a gigantic figure of one person because of whom, by whom, in whom, and through whom alone mankind might still have hope, the person of Jesus Christ. You see what he's saying? He's saying the kingdoms that rise and fall in this world are just a mist. They're just a vapor standing in front of the rock of the eternal glory and rule and kingdom of Christ. Hezekiah also, as he prays, he gives praise to God as the creator of heaven and earth. And beloved, it's not a small thing to praise God as our creator. God didn't have to create heaven or earth or us. But he did. And he created us out of his goodness and his love and incredibly out of a desire to have fellowship with us. The God of the universe desires to have fellowship with us. That's why he created us. He created us because he first loved us. He loves us even in the desperate state of our sin. He created us and he's reconciled us together to him through our union in Christ. And that's why Paul can say, Christ in us, the hope of glory. And what God first created as good, that which has been ruined by our sin, he's going to recreate. He's going to recreate through the rule and the power and the majesty of Christ. And so we praise God as a creator of heaven and earth, and one who will recreate that which we have ruined in the reign of his Son, Jesus Christ. And so Hezekiah praised God. Hezekiah praised God. He got alone with God. He praised with God. He praised God. And finally, he got specific with God. He got specific. Hezekiah, when he came to the Lord, he laid out the circumstances that were before him. Look with me again at verse 16. Hezekiah prays, incline your ear, O Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, O Lord, and see. And listen to the words of Sennacherib, which he has sent to reproach the living God. Truly, O Lord, the kings of Assyria have devastated the nations and their lands. They have cast their gods into the fire, for they were not gods, but the work of man's hands, wood and stone. So they have destroyed them. You may remember back when we read verse 14 when Hezekiah went to the temple and alone to pray, and he took that letter that was sent to him by Sennacherib and he laid it before the Lord. I like that. He laid it before the Lord. Hezekiah prayed. He said, Lord, listen with your ears to what he has said. Look with your eyes to what he has written to us, O Lord. He threatens to destroy your people. Hezekiah prays, yet his real reproach is not against us. His real reproach, O Lord, is against you and against your name and against your majesty. Yes, he has destroyed lands and gods of those lands, but those were not true gods. Those gods couldn't see with eyes. They couldn't hear with true ears. But, O Lord, look with your eyes, he prays. See what he has written. Look what he said about you. Look what he has said about you. And so Hezekiah, when he prayed, you see, Hezekiah's main concern was not his own name. His main concern was what? The name of Almighty God. That was priority one. Priority one is that the name of the Lord of Israel would be glorified. That's how I pray. And so he laid out his circumstances before the Lord, and then finally he gave his petition. And very simply he prays in verse 19, "Now, O Lord my God, I pray, deliver us from his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you alone, O Lord, are God." So Hezekiah's request, his petition is very simple. Yes, he prays for deliverance from Assyria. But in praying, he does so that God, in rescuing his people, would declare that he alone is God of the nations. Now, let me conclude by saying this. After Hezekiah prayed, the Lord sent word through his prophet Isaiah, and he said to Hezekiah, "Because you have prayed to me, indeed, I have heard you." And the Lord had a message for Sennacherib. If you look down to verse 28, the Lord says this through Isaiah. He says, "Because of your raging against me, because of your arrogance has come up to my ears, therefore I will put my hook in your nose." He says, "And my bridle in your lips, and I will turn you back by the way which you came." That's what the Lord said. And the scripture tells us in verse 35, "Then it happened that night, that same night, the angel of the Lord went out and struck 185,000 of the camp of the Assyrians. And when men rose early in the morning, behold, all of them were dead." That's what Sennacherib found the next morning. And then, so Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed, and he returned home, and he lived in Nineveh. And I'd say, I guess so. It wasn't long from that the Assyrian king's life was lost by his own men. Hezekiah prayed. You know, I think about my own life and how I pray, the desires of my heart when I pray, and my question to myself and to us of this church, what would happen to us if we gave ourselves to pray as Hezekiah prayed? If we gave ourselves truly to the Lord to pray faithfully as Hezekiah prayed, he'd change your life. He'd change your family's life. May God give us grace to do so. Let's pray. Father, we ask your forgiveness that we don't pray as we should. Father, we thank you that you've given to us in your word the ways and the means of prayer. We thank you, Father, that you are willing to hear our prayer. You long to hear our prayer. And Father, I pray that we, as your people, we indeed would be driven to cry out to you, Lord, not only in difficult times, but in wonderful times, in praise and adoration for your name, for your work, for your salvation. We love you, Father. We pray your blessing upon us, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.